You'll find the scripture reading in the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I want to speak to you tonight as we look at these three verses from 1 John chapter 3 on in his likeness. Now, of course, the other early believers were first called Christians at Antioch. It was not a name they gave themselves, but it was a name that was given to them by a godless and graceless world because of their identity with the name of Jesus Christ. It was not given as a name of honor, but as a name of derision. It is the ambition, it is the hope of every saved person to be like Jesus Christ. Do you want to be like him? You do if you're saved. If you have this hope, he purifies you. And this hope purifies us that have come to Jesus Christ. And of course, that means nothing to the unsaved. But to those of us that are saved, we do want to be like him. And it will be the thrill of all the ages when we shall be like him. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Every person that is in heaven, every person that is going to heaven, has this holy longing to be like Christ. The basis of all this is divine love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We are like him positionally. Behold, what manner of love. Now, of course, the Apostle John was familiar with this word, behold. And it seems to be one of his favorite words. John had lived among wonders from the time of his conversion to the Isle of Patmos. He knew the wonder of this word, behold. And of course, if God has saved you, put his grace in your heart. We can't ever extol his name enough. We cannot praise him enough for his saving grace and redeeming love. It was John, you remember, who had said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. In reference to our Lord Jesus, to that cold, lukewarm rather, Laodicean church age. It was John who said, behold, he cometh with clouds. It was John who said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them. He shall be and his people, and he shall be their God. And so John is amazed that God should love him in the first place. Amen. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Now, one of the great problems I think of modern evangelism is that we seem to have lost the wonder. Someone asked the famous evangelist, Gypsy Smith, what was the secret? Oh, they ask him the question, what is the secret of your success? And Gypsy Smith said, I've never lost the wonder. Don't ever forget where God found you. Don't ever forget that if there's any virtue, if there's any good thing in any of us, we owe it all to Calvary's Lamb. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We were saved by looking to Christ. And we are sustained by looking to Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Behold, what manner of love. This is selective love. We are loved by God the Father, by God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Deuteronomy 33:29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. I like that word, saved. I like to say that word, saved. I like to sing about that word, saved. I love to meditate about that word, saved. I like to just imagine what it must be in eternity to join the ransomed of the Lord in the saved people of God. And while the ages roll, to praise His wonderful name. We are loved by God the Father. That's one thing to call ourselves children of God. But it's another thing for God to call us His children. And when God addresses us as His children, you can rest assured that is for certain. We are the sons of God, the daughters of God. 2 Corinthians 6:18. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, loved by God the Father. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. It is because of the wonder-working power of Jesus' blood that I have the high, the holy privilege to be called a son of God. Jeremiah says, the Lord appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And as you know, that means from eternity to eternity. You can look as far back in eternity past as you can. On the untrodden tracks of an eternity past. And God says, I love you. And you can look yonder to Calvary. The Lord Jesus waited 4,000 years after the creation of this world to come to Calvary, to hang on that cross, to pay our debt of sin. And make it possible that we might be reconciled to a holy God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God right now. Now, of course, if a person is not saved in time, you, of course, cannot be saved in eternity. Charles Spurgeon said of the Lord's salvation, done in a moment, but wondered at throughout eternity. It will be the song of the ages. It will be the song of the redeemed. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Now, of course, Garner Ted Armstrong and Herbert W. Used to say often on the radio that we will eventually become as gods. And that no person can know now in this life whether we're saved or not, or whether we're going to be like Him or not. That's not what John said. Beloved, behold, now are we the sons of God. Right now, right smack in the middle of now, presently, I am a son of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? Now, I hope everything turns out all right. Not if anyone makes it. Lord, surely I will. Not building a bridge. Not holding out, hanging on. But I'm trusting in nothing more and nothing less than the blood of Jesus Christ and His finished work. And on the authority of this book, I can say, behold, now are we the sons of God? This privilege is received no other way. except by grace through faith are you saved. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. We are loved by God the Son, Jesus the firstborn among many brethren, is not ashamed to call us brethren. Hebrews 2:11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For the which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now the liberal news media might be ashamed of us, and they are ashamed of us. But our Lord's not ashamed to call us brethren. He's not ashamed to identify us as one of his own. You remember Jesus said to his little flock, "Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, of course, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the new birth, is my Father. What an amazing thing that Jesus would identify his Father as my Father. And I have the privilege to get on my face or to bow my head and say, "My Father, our Father, which art in heaven, behold, what man of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." We are loved by God, the Holy Spirit. He bears witness with our spirits that we are the sons of God. Now I do know that we live by faith. And some days it seems that darkness seems to hide his face. But I rest on his unchanging grace. And I have been a follower of the Lamb long enough to have discovered through the years, Brother Steve, that even if I'm walking through a valley, that if I wait before the Lord, after a while, he'll let me top a hill. He always does. Behold, now are we the sons of God right now in this present world. It is he, the Spirit of God, who hath given us the earnest or the guarantee of heaven. After all, it was the Holy Ghost that put this love in our hearts. Behold, what man of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, distributed by the Holy Ghost. Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. He just opened the spiritual floodgates and has flooded our soul with heavenly sunlight, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The same Holy Ghost who brooded over primeval chaos and brought forth this world is the same Holy Ghost who brooded over the womb of the Virgin Mary and brought forth deity, and is the same Holy Ghost who brooded over my 9-year-old heart and brought me to Christ and hath shed his blood in my heart. Of the Holy Ghost, having shed this love of God abroad in my heart. Beloved, behold, now are we the sons of God. Positionally, we are like him. This is unending love. If God makes you a son of God, it's done forever. I don't think I'd want to waste my time preaching a salvation that is not eternal. Hebrews says that he's the author of eternal salvation. What do you reckon that means in the Greek? Eternal. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. It is everlasting. It is eternal salvation. And I think that would be a very discouraging thing to preach a salvation that would not last. But what God did in my heart, is eternal. And if God makes you a son of God, it is an eternal transaction. It's everlasting love. That was not the death of Christ that moved the heart of God to love us. Now, some people have the idea that when Christ died by his death, somehow he convinced God the Father to love us. Not on your life. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. That's why Jesus came to planet Earth in the first place, was because of the Father's love. And the Lord Jesus did not die on the cross to make God want to love us, or to make sure that we could save ourselves by our own efforts. But behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Eternal love. And then the fact that we're selected of God, it also means that we're slighted by the world. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. Jesus said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Jesus said again, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. God has done something in a heart that is wonderful, that is glorious. And this world, of course, is never, never, or ever shall be a friend to the grace of God. But as Robert Robinson wrote, oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Behold, what manner of love. We are positionally like him, and we shall be prophetically like him. Beloved, now we're the sons of God. And verse 2 says, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Our hope is not just going to heaven, though that's wonderful and that's glorious. I believe that everything that this Bible describes about heaven is there. But the heaven of heaven is this, and they shall see his face. I had the privilege many years ago to visit the grave of Samuel Rutherford in Scotland, St. Andrew, Scotland. And he is the one who said that to see Jesus once every 1,000 years through a keyhole would be heaven enough. But that didn't satisfy our Lord. Jesus prayed, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me, that they may be with me, that they may behold my glory forever. And our hope, and the wonderful thing about heaven, is that we shall see him. Now the carnal, sensual heaven is not the scriptural heaven. The Muslim religion talks about a reward of 72 virgins or 77 or how many it is. I can't remember, and who cares anyhow. But the world has the idea that heaven is just some sensual place where all the lust of people will be gratified. They talk about hillbilly heavens, dog heavens, and all kinds of heavens. But heaven is a place, a holy place. And the joy of heaven will be, and they shall see his face. It is His presence that will make heaven, heaven. Some time ago, I attended a funeral, and I couldn't believe it. The man who did the service was a Baptist preacher, he said. But he talked about this individual. He said nothing about this man ever having experience of Christ, the grace of God in his heart. But he said no man could suffer like this man suffered and not go to heaven. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But he said, you can imagine that when this man got to heaven, he always liked John Deere tractors. And he could imagine when this man got to heaven, they would go the rest of the way into heaven riding on a John Deere tractor. Now, boy, that's deep. I want to tell you that if God has saved you, the supreme joy of your heart is we shall behold Him. We shall be like Him. You see, if man in his unnatural state could go to heaven, he would do like he tries to do on earth. Dethrone God. But heaven is a holy place. A place of eternal worship. It is a place where we shall be like Him. In the book of the Revelation, every time you read in that book, it seems like they're just getting down on their knees to worship, or they're getting up off their knees from worship. Heaven is a place of eternal worship. And the joy of our heart is we shall be like Him. But somebody says, who wants to go to a place where all they're doing is crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, where all they know is worthy is the Lamb. Who wants to go to a place like that? I do. And every person that has been saved desires such a place. Behold, now we're the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when it shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now those that see no glory in Christ have an eye problem. The Bible says the pure in heart shall see God. And there's not the slightest, the remotest possibility of going to heaven unless you've been given the heart of God. Unless you've been given a heart that desires to be like Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Right now we're the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when it shall appear, we shall be like Him. I think that one of the most wretched experiences that comes to the heart of the lost person is to grow old without Christ. To look back at a life lived without Christ, the life of wasted years. Now it is a blessing to grow old in anticipation of what God has in store for His children. I do not know when God shall call me home. It might be in a few seconds or a second. I do not know. Jesus may come before I can get the next sentence out. But the thing that thrills my soul is I shall be like Him. I'm going to see Him as He is. Since the moment God saved me, I've been in a battle with this Adamic nature. When I get up in the morning, that other Larry Winkler gets up with me. And I've often wondered, Brother Dane, if the Lord hadn't saved me, just what would I become? I'd have probably been mean as a snake. I'm glad He saved me. I'm glad that God did something in my heart that is eternal. And when I'm through with this body, I shall be like Him. There's a new man on the inside. He's getting stronger every day. This outward man is perishing. To be honest with you, it's been a long time since I jumped the fence. And I'm sure it'll probably never happen again. But there's a new man on the inside. The MRI can't detect him. But he's in there. And while this body's deteriorating, that new man is getting stronger every day. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Now the unsaved, of course, all that is to come in a life without Christ is darkness. To go from the shades of evening in the blackness of an eternity past, or an eternity that will last forever and ever in darkness. The saved, of course, look for the twilight of morning when we shall be like him and we shall behold Christ Jesus in all of his glory. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. I do want to see him. I do want to look upon his face. I do want to praise him for love and grace. To be honest, I've never been able to praise God like I wanted to. I've tried. And sometimes I have done everything within my power and strength to try to express my gratitude and praise to God. But I've never been able to praise him just like I want to. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when it shall appear, we shall be like him. To be like Christ means purity in character. No more sin. It means the glorification of the body. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like in his glorious body. It means the satisfaction of heart. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Practically, we shall be like him. Amen. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Our hope is not in this world, but is in Christ Jesus alone. It does not give us a license to sin, to know that we've been eternally pardoned and cleansed from our sin. As a matter of fact, every saved person, if you could live like you wanted to live, you would live perfectly. You would never want to sin. And it grieves us when our hearts are guilty of sin. And too many times we come to the Lord and confess the same sins and over have to confess our sins. But every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. A friend of mine once was witnessing to a lost man, or a man rather that said he was a Christian, but he did not believe in the perseverance of the saints. And he said to my friend, if I believe like you believe, if I believe that a person is saved forever, I'd drink all the liquor I wanted to drink. I'd commit every sin in the book. And my friend said, no, if you had what I got, you'd behave yourself. And if you're saved, if God's grace is in your heart, you want to be like him. And you would never sin. And we would never have to confess our sins before the Lord again. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when it shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust. We shall live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the great and the glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And wonderful, blessed thought, someday I shall behold Him, and I shall be like Him. I just cannot imagine in my wildest imagination what it must be to behold Jesus Christ face to face in all His glory. Jesus Christ, who died for me. What manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God.